Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello there, this is Jim, and I'll be reading from the Odessa American for January 12th, 2026. One killed, one seriously injured in early morning crash. A 27-year-old Odessa man was killed and his passenger seriously injured in a three-vehicle wreck around 6 a.m. Monday. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 36-year-old Odessa man was driving a tractor-trailer south on FM 866 when he turned east onto West University, and that resulted in a collision with a GMC Sierra being driven by Jorge Zapata. After the impact, the Sierra collided with a Ford F-150, which was being driven by a 40-year-old Odessan who had stopped at the intersection. Zapata was pronounced dead at the scene, and his 27-year-old passenger was taken to Odessa Medical Center Hospital with serious injuries. The driver of the tractor-trailer was not hurt, and the driver of the pickup suffered minor injuries and refused medical treatment at the scene. The crash remains under investigation. And our next article, Acosta hopes to unseat Baeza in JP4. By Mike Albanese. The upcoming March 3rd primary has candidates from both the Democratic and Republican parties vying for the seat currently held by Justice of the Peace Precinct 4, Elizabeth R. Baeza. The challenger in the GOP primary is Martha Acosta. The winner of the GOP primary will face either Christina Mendoza McKinney or Crystal Z. Rios. Acosta currently serves as the court coordinator for the 358th District Court. She began working for Ector County in 2019 and quickly moved into a role in the district attorney's office. She has been court coordinator since 2023. She officially submitted her candidacy November 19th. This prestigious position offers me the opportunity to witness firsthand the challenges and responsibilities faced by Judge John Schrode on a daily basis, she said in a Facebook post announcing her candidacy. This experience has been invaluable and will undoubtedly be instrumental in my future endeavors. Acosta, who lived in Precinct 4 since the age of 23, said this has been something she has wanted to do for some time and finally decided to take the leap. I know I can do this job, she said, adding she has a desire to serve the community. If elected, she would serve the court with an unmatched work ethic and uphold justice and ethics for each case that comes through Precinct 4. Potential voters have until February 2nd to register to vote. This is also the last day to make a change of address. Early voting begins February 17th, ends February 27th, ahead of the March 3rd primary day. And up next, Atmos Energy named Escalent 2025 Utility Customer Champion. From Midland, the latest findings of the 2025 Utility Trusted Brand and Customer Engagement Residential Study, which tracks the performance of 149 gas, electric, and combination utilities to identify brand and customer experience opportunities and trends in the industry, have resulted in Atmos Energy being named a 2025 Utility Customer Champion in both the South and Midwest regions. The study was conducted by Escalent, a top data analytics and advisory firm with extensive energy, utility, and brand experience. Escalent surveyed nearly 61,000 residential, electric, natural gas of the 149 U.S. utility companies based on residential customer counts. Utilities named as customer champions are selected based on having engaged customer relationships, ECR, index scores in the top decile of the industry, the top score within their respective benchmark segment, or an engaged customer relation index score with 20 points of the top benchmark segment score and above the industry average. Atmos Energy earned the customer championship distinction in both the South and Midwest regions with ECR scores of 775 and 737 respectively, which underscores the importance of our sustained focus on trust, reputation, and customer-centric support, especially as affordability remains top of mind for residential customers. This is achieved in part through methods like our easy-to-understand bills and helpful on-bill communications, as well as tips to conserve energy, awareness campaigns to prevent scams and fraud, and financial assistance options to help with past due balances. We take immense pride for being recognized for exceptional customer service. In fact, it is a stated priority in our company's vision, Mike Dixon, Atmos Energy Vice President of Customer Service, said in a news release. It's an honor to receive this distinction from Escalent's latest study, and our team of 5,500 employees will continue to seek improvement and make a difference for the 3.3 million customers we are honored to serve. For more information about this study, see their website. Colorado man arrested in beating of girlfriend. Odessa police arrested a Denver, Colorado man early Monday morning after finding his girlfriend covered in bruises and blood at the Studio 6 Motel on South John Ben Shepherd Parkway. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a call from the friend of a 24-year-old woman who said her friend had called her gasping for air and saying she needed help. When officers arrived at the motel, Andres Orlando Huerta, 47, opened the door of one of the rooms, and they could see the woman behind him with a bruised eye and upper lip, a swollen cheek, and bruises to her forearms and biceps, the report stated. She was also bleeding from her ear, nose, and eye. According to the report, the woman told officers that Huerta strangled her to the point she almost lost consciousness, threatened her with a broken beer bottle, and threatened to drown her. Officers found scratches on the woman's throat, blood on the bathtub, and a broken beer bottle, the report stated. Huerta was arrested and booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and assault by strangulation. His bail was set at $60,000. And up next, meet renowned author Robert M. Edsel at two exclusive literacy events. Midland. The Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin is thrilled to announce two exceptional opportunities to meet Robert M. Edsel, acclaimed author of The Monuments Men and the newly released Remember Us. These February events celebrate the power of literacy, history, and storytelling, and offer guests a rare up-close experience with the best-selling author whose work has captivated audiences around the world. On February 11th, members of the Laura Bush Ladies for Literacy will gather for an elegant and intimate book club evening with Edsel. Guests will enjoy cocktails, hors d'oeuvres, and live piano music while participating in a thoughtful conversation about Remember Us. The night concludes with a personal book signing, giving attendees the chance to meet Edsel and engage with him directly about his work. The event is exclusively for current LBLL members with limited seating available. For details and registration, visit Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin's website. On February 12th, Edsel will headline the Power of Literacy fundraiser as a keynote speaker. Inspired by the stories and themes within Remember Us, Edsel will discuss the enduring influence of storytelling, the importance of historical memory, and how literature strengthens communities. Attendees will not only hear from Edsel firsthand, but will also share in a meaningful evening that brings together advocates, donors, and leaders to advance literacy throughout the region. Kathy Morrow will serve as honorary chair for the Power of Literacy. Tables and sponsorship opportunities for the Power of Literacy are now open. Individuals and organizations are encouraged to reserve early to ensure the opportunity to attend this special evening and meet Robert M. Edsel. For more information and to secure tables or sponsorship, visit the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin's website. And up next, Museum of the Southwest presents Jenny Stubblefield, Portals. From Midland, the Museum of the Southwest invites the public to experience Jenny Stubblefield, Portals, a captivating exhibition that explores landscape from an extraordinary point of view, thousands of feet above the earth. On view to the public January 16 through April 5, the exhibition is presented in the Mary B. Kennedy Gallery of the Museum of the Southwest. Stubblefield, who describes herself as an aerial landscape painter, creates works inspired by flight, by looking down upon the earth and translating that perspective into compositions that balance abstraction and representation. Her paintings evoke the sublime and the ephemeral, capturing the emotional and visual impact of aerial travel while inviting viewers to slow down, contemplate, and see the familiar world anew. Through sweeping color fields, layered textures, and rhythmic patterns drawn from the Earth's surface, Portals becomes both a visual journey and a meditative experience. Each painting acts as a threshold, an invitation to step into a moment of reflection, wonder, and connection. Artists observe and experience the world differently, Stubblefield writes, finding moments of inspiration, question, wonderment, and beauty in places where most don't even notice. The museum will host a members-only reception on Thursday, January 15, from 5:30 to 7 p.m., offering members an exclusive opportunity to meet Stubblefield, experience the exhibition, and celebrate her talents. Stubblefield lives and works in San Antonio and is a native of Kentucky, where her lifelong connection to landscape began. She received her classical training in painting and printmaking at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts and earned her degree from the University of Pennsylvania. Her career includes numerous awards, traveling grants, and studies in Europe, as well as mentorship and critiques from noted artists including Janet Fish, Manuel Neri, Sidney Goodman, and Vincent Desidrio. Stubblefield's work is exhibited nationally in invitational and juried exhibitions, and she continues to explore new perspectives on land, scale, and human experience through her aerial vantage point. And our next story, police: evicted woman breaks into her former home. An Odessa woman was arrested Saturday after police said she was captured on surveillance, breaking into her former home and stealing a vacuum and the surveillance cameras. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were dispatched to a home in the 300 block of Foster Avenue around 8:30 a.m. January 7th. When officers arrived, a woman told them her previous tenant, Christina McDaniel Almanza, 54, was seen on surveillance cameras kicking down a boarded window and stealing the items from the homes she'd evicted her from on December 9th, the report stated. McDaniel was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of burglary of a habitation and her bail set at $20,000. And up next, woman accused of threatening fiancé with knife. Odessa police arrested a 26-year-old woman Friday morning after her boyfriend said she threatened to cut his throat and stab him. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were dispatched to the La Placita Apartments on East University Boulevard about a disturbance around 9:45 a.m. Friday. When officers arrived, a 21-year-old man said that during an argument with his fiancée, Amia Kiana Filio, 26, she began choking herself, and when he told her he was breaking up with her because of her actions, she retrieved a black folding knife from her purse, the report stated. After holding the knife to her own throat, the man said she chased him from their bedroom to the front door and put the knife to his throat, the report stated. She then took the knife and pressed it against his stomach at the waistline. The man told officers that Filio then stabbed the wall and locked herself inside the bathroom, the report stated. Filio admitted to getting the knife but said she pointed the knife at her boyfriend in self-defense, the report stated. Filio was arrested and booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, her bail set at $50,000.
Primary features packed. Local ballot. The upcoming March 3rd primary features both GOP and Democratic primaries in Ector County that are contested. Potential voters have until February the 2nd to register to vote. That is also the last day to make a change of address. Early voting begins February the 17th and ends February the 27th, ahead of the March 3rd primary date. Some races will be decided in the GOP primary in Ector County with no Democratic challengers for November. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett is seeking his second term as the top elected official in Ector County. He will face former Ector County Library employee Sonny Mehta. Winner takes all in this March race with no Democrat seeking the seat in November. Mehta previously worked at the Ector County Sheriff's Office prior to working at the library. Mehta is suing Ector County, alleging he was fired from the library 8 days after reporting what he believes to be illegal hiring practices. The Commissioner's Court has set two seats up in Precinct 4 and Precinct 2. The Precinct 2 race will be decided in the March primary amongst Republicans with no Democrat in November. That seat has been occupied by retiring Commissioner Greg Simmons for more than two decades. The announcement of his retirement has five Republicans vying for the seat: Richard Pierce, former Commissioner Don Stringer, Grayson Hankins, Jason Payne, and James Poor have all filed in the GOP primary. With five candidates, it is likely there will be a runoff, as the winning candidate must have more than 50% of the vote. Stringer was previously a commissioner in Precinct 3, but lost that seat to current Commissioner Samantha Russell. In Precinct 4, current Commissioner Billy Hall will face Marty Slayton in the GOP primary. The winner will take on former Precinct 4 Commissioner Armando Rodriguez, who filed as an independent seeking the seat he lost 4 years ago to Hall. Also, Democrat Jesse Porras filed for the Precinct 4 Commissioner seat. Also on the ballot are many statewide seats, including governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, land commissioner, agriculture commissioner, comptroller, and more. Black Cultural Council of Odessa schedules MLK Day events. The Black Cultural Council of Odessa has scheduled its annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration to remember and celebrate the legacy of the civil rights leader. During the three-day weekend, members of the community are invited to participate in one or all events. This year's theme is Celebrating the Dream, Continuing the Journey. Created as a federal holiday to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr., every third Monday in January, the BCCO uses the weekend to celebrate King's message of equal rights for all people. Additionally, the BCCO hosts an annual Juneteenth celebration, considered the largest in Texas. The County's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration will begin with the annual MLK Showcase basketball tournament on January the 17th at the Permian High School Fieldhouse, starting at 9 a.m. A gospel celebration is scheduled to start at 3:30 p.m. January the 18th at Greater St. John Baptist Church, 211 South Muskingum Avenue. The Reverend Mark Hood Sr. from Liberty Baptist Church in Tyler will speak. Hood previously spoke during the 2025 MLK Day celebration, as well as the 2024 Juneteenth event. The King Brunch is scheduled from 10 a.m. to noon on January the 19th at Woodson Community Center, followed by the Freedom March at 1:30 p.m. starting at the Southside Senior Center. If you go, the MLK Showcase Basketball Tournament is from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Permian High School Fieldhouse, 1800 East 42nd Street. The cost is $6 for adults. Children are $4, and children under 5 are free. And on January 18th, the gospel celebration will be at 3:30 at the Greater St. John Baptist Church on Muskingum Avenue, and the guest speaker will be Reverend Robert Hood Sr. The cost is free. Is knowing and obeying God important to us? By William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. At this time of year, we begin planning our intentions, as January marks a new beginning and is the ideal opportunity to implement physical, emotional, and spiritual lifestyle changes. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, "You are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream." You notice I use the word developing because whatever our goals, including drawing closer to God, is a process like losing weight, exercising, or any other vision we are focused upon. For example, eating a salad today and resisting the pie is not going to automatically make us skinny, but it's a positive step. Likewise, being determined to succeed is how we become more aware of God's voice. Are we spiritually in control of how we speak and act, or do our carnal emotions control us? Are we seeking the easy way to solve our problems, or a lifestyle change that surrenders our thoughts over to God's will? One of our most powerful vows would be to dedicate time each day to prayer and meditation. If we are serious about personal transformation, we will seek God's help to guide us in the things we know we need to do or that we need to stop doing. For example, I heard someone say the other day that if a person is serious about conquering bad eating habits, they would ask God to help adjust their cravings. I agree. But what if the love of food is more powerful than their desire to become healthy? What if the person does not really want to surrender this powerful addiction? What if a person loves money, pornography, being lazy, selfish, abusive, or smoking, or alcohol more than they care about what God thinks? Until the desire to change becomes more important than staying the same, our visions are nothing more than dreams. When the mind changes, the deeds and actions of the body will follow. No matter what people say, our body is God's temple, and the way we treat it is very important to Him. Do you believe that if we ask God to deliver us from our weaknesses, He would get involved? What if we sincerely ask the Lord that for every time we lusted to do something we know is a sinful negative behavior, that He would make us nauseated? Too extreme, you might say? I believe this is how desperate we must become in order to break free from the chains that hold us in spiritual and mental bondage. Let's go ahead and try it. I dare us. The reverential fear of God includes having an awareness of His authority. Do we care that when we defy Him and allow sin to govern our lives, we are hurting Him? Do we care what He thinks or how much He's concerned about our wrong decisions? How much do we meditate on the reverential fear of God and the price He paid to redeem us from an eternal death? Spiritual obedience to God and accomplishing His desires come from the inside out. To change what is on the outside, we must first rearrange what is on the inside. When Christ is involved to sit on the throne of our hearts, to be the King and Master of our lives, only then can we comprehend what it means to take up our cross and follow Him. The refiner's fire is not just a religious slogan. It is a requirement to comprehend the difference between a religious masquerade and a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. His salvation is not just Him being a Savior. This heavenly concept is found on His desire to become our Lord. The question we are faced with is, do we really want to be a living sacrifice for Him? Read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Our lives are filled with as many distractions as we allow, and we can be as filled and as close to God as we want. We are servants to whom we obey, says Romans chapter 6, verse 16. How bad do we want God? Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." Romans chapter 8, verse 31 declares, "What then shall we say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Well, we know the devil is against us, but at the end of the day, our free will to choose is the only thing that can prevent what Christ died for us to be. Dr. Holland is an ordained minister, chaplain, and author. You can read more about the Christian life at BillyHollandMinistries.com. Obituaries. Clyde Morris Klein, age 89, of Toole, Texas, passed away on January the 6th. No further information is given. Sarah Louise Grove, age 86, passed away on December the 18th. No further information is given. Karen Sue Jackson passed away on January the 5th. A graveside service was held in Karen's honor on Saturday, January the 10th. Nicolasa Alvarado, age 106, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 3rd. The family will receive friends for visitation at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home on Monday, January the 12th, from 4 to 8 p.m., with the rosary at 7 p.m. Rance Paul Carnes, age 71, of Odessa, died Friday, January the 2nd, in Odessa. A celebration of life will be held at 1 p.m. January the 12th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens. Delbert Dwayne Crumpley, age 80, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January the 6th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. June Kimmel, age 71, of Odessa, died December the 31st in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 12 p.m. January the 14th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Viewing will take place before the service from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Mary Thelma Miller, age 63, of Odessa, died Saturday, January the 3rd, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, January the 15th, at Odessa Funeral Home. Consuela Rodriguez, age 82, of Odessa, died Friday, January the 2nd, in Odessa. Mass was celebrated at 2 p.m. on Friday, January the 9th, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial followed at the Los Angeles section of Ector County Cemetery. Sheila Thomas, age 97, of Odessa, died Thursday, January the 8th. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. January the 14th at Sunset Memorial Gardens.
Black Cultural Council of Odessa schedules MLK Day events. Weekend scheduled to celebrate civil rights leader. The story was written by Nathaniel Miller. The Black Cultural Council of Odessa has scheduled its annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration to remember and celebrate the legacy of the civil rights leader. During the three-day weekend, members of the community are invited to participate in one or all events. This year's theme is Celebrating the Dream, Continuing the Journey. Created as a federal holiday to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. every third Monday in January, the BCCO uses the weekend to celebrate King's message of equal rights for all people. Additionally, the BCCO hosts an annual Juneteenth celebration considered the largest in Texas. The Council's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration will begin with the annual MLK Showcase basketball tournament on January 17th at the Permian High School Fieldhouse, starting at 9 a.m. A gospel celebration is scheduled to start at 3:30 p.m. January 18th at Greater St. John Baptist Church, 211 South Muskingum Avenue. The Reverend Mark Hood Sr. from Liberty Baptist Church in Tyler will speak. Hood previously spoke during the 2025 MLK Day celebration, as well as the 2024 Juneteenth event. The King Brunch is scheduled from 10 a.m. to noon on January 19th at Woodson Community Center, followed by the Freedom March at 1:30 p.m., starting at the Southside Senior Center. Legacy High School student wins App Challenge. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Dywick Reddy's KidneyWise app, designed to help people navigate the kidney transplant process, has won U.S. Representative August Pfluger's 2025 Congressional App Challenge for Texas's 11th Congressional District. Quote, KidneyWise is designed to make kidney health and the transplant process easier to understand. It gives users clear, straightforward information about how the kidneys work and what the transplant journey looks like. It also includes a quiz that can help transplant patients get a sense of where they are in the process. The goal is really to reduce confusion and help patients feel a little more in control, the 15-year-old Dywick said. Dywick's father, Dr. Anand Reddy, is a nephrologist, so Dywick grew up around the specialty. Quote, since my dad is a nephrologist, I heard a lot about the stories about patients who had felt lost in the transplant system. But what really made it personal was my barber. She was one of my dad's patients and went through the transplant wait list herself. Seeing someone I knew struggle with that uncertainty made me want to do something practical. KidneyWise started as like a way to take those experiences and turn them into something that could actually help people, said Dyrick, who attends Legacy High School. The app is still a prototype. Winning the challenge showed him the idea had a lot of potential. He added that there's still a lot he wants to improve. Quote, I see this more as like a starting point. I'm excited to keep building the app out and maybe help more people in the future, said Dyrick, who lives between Odessa and Midland. Dyrick said he hasn't always been good with computers and software, but he's always been intrigued by them. He added that he'd like to thank Pfluger for the app challenge opportunity. Quote, it's already helping the growth of the app by doing this challenge. He gave me this platform to take this idea and make it a meaningful project to make it a better and more efficient app and make it so more people can use it, Dyrick said. I'd like to maybe put on the App Store one day and make it a real app that you can download instead of a website like it is right now, end quote. He said he started developing KidneyWise about 5 months ago. Dyrick used online help, but not too much in-person support. Quote, it was more of me trying to figure it out and trying to do the best that I could with the resources I have, he added. He divided his time between school and extracurricular activities while working on the app on weekends. Dyrick plays the violin in the Legacy Orchestra, plays golf, and just joined the DECA program, which offers kids a blend of experimental learning and curriculum. His dad, Dr. Reddy, said he was surprised his son had developed the app because Dyrick didn't say anything. Quote, it is amazing that the congressman is participating in organizing Congressional District App Challenge where the kids from school can participate. I was surprised that he took interest in my specialty. Like he was mentioning, I got a call from the congressman's office. That's when I realized that he'd participated and he won the competition, Dr. Reddy said. Once I came to know he was developing this, I gave him some input because healthcare access in West Texas is very hard. People live further away from the transplant centers. The nearest transplant centers is at least 5 hours away, either in the Dallas area or in San Antonio. There's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of difficulty for patients to travel. What this app could potentially do to them is to give them information in layman's terms, Reddy added. Dr. Reddy said it was a proud moment when he found out about Dyrick's win. Quote, it encourages other students in the West Texas area to be able to participate and develop new things for our local population, Dr. Reddy said. Dyrick once again thanked Pfluger for the opportunity to participate in the app challenge. Quote, it gave me a really meaningful and good experience. Moving forward, I'm trying to refine KidneyWise all the time, so this was a really big motivator for me to do that, Dyrick said. The Congressional App Challenge is a district-wide challenge for middle school and high school students, encouraging them to learn to code and inspiring them to pursue careers in computer science. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Celebration, Midland. The American Petroleum Institute, along with the Permian Strategic Partnership, is hosting a celebration honoring the hardworking men and women of America's oil and gas industry. The event will bring together industry leaders and employees, community leaders, and guests to recognize the workforce behind American energy and its impact on the Permian Basin and beyond. This celebration will include a live music performance by by award-winning Texas country music singer and songwriter Roger Krieger, along with barbecue and beverages provided for attendees. The event is scheduled from 4 to 7 p.m. January 20th at the venue at Live Oak, 3201 Elkins Road in Midland. Cookies. Girl Scouts, volunteers, and trucks will come together 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. January 17th at 306 East 67th Street as Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest officially launches the 2026 cookie season with a large-scale cookie mega drop event in Odessa. The cookie mega drop serves as the primary pickup site for Girl Scout troops to receive their cookie orders in preparation for sales starting January 18th. With volunteers and Girl Scouts participating, the cookie mega drop is the start of one of the organization's most impactful programs of the year. Proceeds from the Girl Scout cookie program directly support leadership development, community service projects, and skill development opportunities for girls throughout the region. Through cookie sales, Girl Scouts build real-world skills from goal setting and money management to decision-making, people skills, and business ethics. Water lines. A water line replacement is scheduled to begin on Monday, January 12th, on East Pearl Street between Bunch Avenue and South Grandview Avenue. During construction, this section of East Pearl Street will be closed to traffic. In addition, a short stretch of the southbound lane on South Grandview Avenue at East Pearl Street will also be closed. Estimated completion time is 2 weeks. Closures will be clearly marked to help guide you safely around the area. These closures are to help improve the infrastructure and better serve our community. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to reach out to Edcardo Madrid and Associates at 432-940-9683 or to the City of Odessa's Utilities Department at 432-335-4627. Aaron Watson. The Sandhill Stock Show and Rodeo has announced Texas country music star Aaron Watson as the headline performer for 2026. Watson will take the stage on January 16th, bringing his signature blend of classic country storytelling and electrifying stage presence. The Sandhills Rodeo features professional rodeo action, livestock shows, and numerous roping events during its run from January 8th to 17th. Texas rising star Caleb Young will open the concert at 9:30 p.m. The after-rodeo dance will be held in Building G and will offer VIP tables for purchase. The Sandhills Rodeo will feature top competitors from the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association and the Women's Professional Rodeo Association, delivering 6 nights of thrilling rodeo action. The Butler & Son Rodeo Company will provide the livestock. For tickets or more information, visit sandhillssr.com. Meals on Wheels. Odessa's Meals on Wheels needs volunteers to deliver meals to the needy of Odessa. Visit mowo.org for more on how to volunteer and how to financially support the group. Kevin James. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland will present Kevin James Eat the Frog on January 24th. The doors will open at 7 p.m. and the event will start at 8 p.m. Ticket prices vary. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/4xnkj4r7. Rodney Carrington, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland, will present Rodney Carrington on February 13th. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m., and the event will start at 7 p.m. Ticket prices vary. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/YF8XYMRH.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, January 3rd, 2026. Religion. A new year filled with faith and determination by William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. A brand new year is here, and I'm excited to see what the Lord has for us. Keeping Christ at the center of our thoughts takes a great deal of discipline and determination, but so does everything else we really care about. We often hear people discussing their resolutions, which are serious intentions, desires, and promises they believe they can achieve. What are your goals and visions for the coming year? Would you like to draw closer to God and experience His peace and joy? I can tell you, according to His word, He loves you and waits for you to be more involved with Him. James 4:8 and Jeremiah 29:12-14 talk about this, but it will take more than just a whim. It will take a drastic lifestyle change. To become more holy and governed by God, instead of our emotions, let us understand that lifestyle transformation involves personal sacrifice. It is said that the only limit to our goals for tomorrow will be our doubts of today. So here's the big question. Just how willing are we to give Him total control of our lives? Isn't this why we are here? If we abide under the shadow of His wings, we will walk in the peace and joy of His Spirit. But if we allow ourselves to be tempted and drawn away by sin, we will remain distant and miserable. Matthew chapter 22 gives us the true meaning of life. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Most of the time, we are so busy making our own decisions that we hardly consider the distractions that cause us to ignore Him. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, God is disappointed with how the Ephesians had left their first love. But what does this mean? It's time to examine our hearts and choose once and for all who we are going to serve. Actually, the Bible contains many passages where God says He loves us and how much He wants to fellowship with us. The incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection are all about Jesus inviting everyone to have a personal relationship with Him. But it's our decision, since He will never force us to love Him. This has been a challenging year for my health, along with other various disappointments, as I'm sure many of you also have your own issues. I actually spent Christmas Day in the hospital. We need our strength, as there is much to do for God's kingdom. My family lost some dear members this year, and this holiday has not been very jolly, but we are comforted in knowing they loved God and are with Him now. I ask that you pray for the inmates that we serve at our local detention center. We bring the good news of the gospel along with baptizing those who give their lives to Christ and serving communion. I also have some exciting news, as I became a certified substitute teacher this year for Jessamine County. I've really enjoyed the challenge, love the kids, and look forward to this coming school year. With a doctorate in Christian education, I have a passion to teach and coach, especially knowing how the enemy is attacking the young ones in today's world. I want to pray and help children in any way I can. Philippians 3:14 declares, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus," which reveals a vital condition to personal transformation. No one else can do it for us. We must see our need to change and be willing to do whatever it takes to be victorious. It's commendable to have long-term goals, and we should release our faith into accomplishing our destiny. But it's critical to realize just how desperate we must become. It's not automatic, but a day-by-day process. It would be much better to go slow with permanent results than to go through the motions and become overwhelmed with frustration and eventually give up. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you truly become our Lord. No more games, no more lukewarmness, no depression or excuses. Please give us the courage to discipline our flesh and the faith and strength to say no to all that is wrong and yes to your perfect will for us. We give you all praise and glory. Amen. Read more about the Christian life at billyhollandministries.com. The Nightmare After Christmas by Dr. Jimmy Braswell, interim pastor at Bethany Christian Church. A part of the story of the birth of Jesus is a dark chapter. King Herod wanted to know where Christ would be born so he could kill the child. It was the time of the three kings visiting Jesus, who was now about 2 years old. So Herod gave orders for the murder of all children in Bethlehem up to 2 years of age. The Holy Family had been warned and fled to Nazareth. Even though the eternal King of Glory has come, this nightmare reminds us we will still have to endure evil and sinfulness until he comes again. A second part of this nightmare is described in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The Christmas dragon has come to earth as Satan to wreak havoc with Christians until Jesus comes again. Even after the light comes, promised in Isaiah 9, the people wandering in the darkness have seen a great light. Even after the light comes, we still remain in this world of trial until he comes again. After Christmas comes the bills, the family going back home. The light makes us able to endure in faith and hope the Christmas dragon and the nightmare after Christmas. We have the church and each other to encourage us. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. David and Bathsheba from 2 Samuel chapter 11. One spring evening when King David's men were off to war, David was walking around on the roof of his palace and he saw a beautiful woman bathing. She was Bathsheba, the wife of a soldier, Uriah, who was away at war. David sent for Bathsheba, and she came to him, and he slept with her, and she became pregnant. David sent for her husband Uriah and suggested that he go home for the night. Uriah refused and slept at the palace entrance with the other servants of the king. Again, David urged Uriah to go home. Uriah protested, "The ark is staying in a tent. My master Joab and his men are at camp. How could I go home to my house and lie with my wife? I will not." The next day, David made Uriah drunk, but still he would not go home. Uriah went back to battle with a letter from David telling Joab to put Uriah up front in battle, and when the fighting was fierce, withdraw from him so that he would be struck down and die. Uriah died in the next battle. Joab sent word to David that Uriah was dead. When Bathsheba heard that Uriah was dead, she mourned for him. But after her time of mourning, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. This thing that David had done displeased the Lord.
Man blames his mother for robbing him of inheritance. A letter to Dear Abby reads, "My mother passed away 6 years ago. She was a manipulative woman who had alienated all family members except my adult son. She promised him a sizable amount of money when she passed, but didn't follow through. As the fiduciary of my parents' estate, I followed their trust directives as written, with no exceptions. My son received a nice check, but not as large as he had expected. He was upset and blamed me for taking his money. Then he declared that we would never see our grandsons again unless he received what his grandmother had promised. He refused to understand the concept of a trustee's fiduciary duty and has ghosted us, even though I have tried reaching out to him several times. Thanks to the generosity of our former daughter-in-law, we do have access to our grandsons. I have finally come to terms with my son's decision to remove himself from the family, which includes his brother and sister. He's an adult and can make that decision for himself. It was always my intention to one day pass what I inherited onto my three children. What I am struggling with is that I'm feeling a considerable amount of guilt because my husband and I have excluded his son from any monetary distributions from our own trust because of how he has behaved and his attempt at blackmail. Am I justified in excluding him? I want to forgive and forget, but I can't get past his actions." And Dear Abby answers, "That your son misdirected his anger from his grandmother, where it belonged, unto you is very sad. Forgive him in your heart, but do not reward him by changing your estate plans. If you haven't already done so, discuss with your lawyer leaving your son's share of your estate in trust for your grandsons instead. Dear Abby, I am married to a verbally and economically abusive alcoholic. His drinking has grown much worse during this last year to the point that he can no longer hold a job longer than 2 months. We have three children, and I know our constant fighting is bad for the kids. Because I haven't worked in 8 years, it has been extremely hard for me to find a job. I have applied for many. I want to leave this toxic marriage, but I'm scared. I don't know how. I have nowhere to go, no money, no car, no job. What can I do, Abby? I am so miserable that I can't stand it." And Dear Abby helps by answering, "It's time to contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which can be accessed at thehotline.org. or by calling toll-free 800-799-7233. Your husband may not be beating you, but that does not mean you aren't being abused. The atmosphere you describe isn't healthy for you or your children. You cannot save your husband from his addiction. Only he can do that when he finally hits rock bottom and decides to seek help for his drinking. You can write to Dear Abby with your problem at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.